Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Taghvahi. Western diplomats have often accused Iran of using offers of dialogue as a stalling tactic, while Iran pressed ahead with enriching uranium. Well, they were wrong in it being a stalling tactic, but right in Iran's pursuit of enriching uranium for peaceful uses, which today, Iran's president has promised, unveiled new nuclear projects, including a fourth generation of domestically made uranium enrichment centrifuges, showcasing Iran's abilities to have mastered the nuclear fuel cycle. In this news analysis, we will examine how Iran was able to do this through Western-imposed sanctions and whether this would change the West's approach towards the friendly nation of Iran. Does the U.S. use pressures and threats against Iran because of its nuclear program or because Tehran does not want to be in the U.S. sphere of power?
President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad overseeing loading of fuel assemblies for 20% enriched uranium into Iran's research reactor. The reactor produces radioisotopes used to produce medications for thousands of cancer patients in Iran. Iran requested the International Atomic Energy Agency last year to help it buy the fuel assemblies from other countries, but the agency's foot-dragging forced Tehran to start producing the assemblies. Iran also unveiled a new generation of centrifuges that enrich uranium at a faster pace in the central city of Natanz. The new centrifuges occupy less space and produce less waste. Iranian experts have manufactured some 3,000 of these centrifuges. They are now operating along with other 6,000 centrifuges at Natanz enrichment facility. This has increased Iran's production of 3.5% enriched uranium by 50%. All of today's projects were unveiled by the families of Iran's assassinated scientists, including the father of Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan, murdered by a bomb blast last month. Also, President Ahmadinejad slammed the West for what he called monopolization of science.
I think that the greatest treason the West has committed against mankind is what they have done to science. See how they acted regarding Iran's nuclear program, their propaganda, their discourteous behavior toward the Iranian people. They tried to stop us and check the progress of Iran, but they didn't get anywhere that way. Our youth scientists and experts went through all these hard times and foiled their inhumane designs.
Iran's president also announced his country's readiness to share its achievements with other IAEA member states. With today's announcements, it seems foreign pressures have been ineffective to undermine Iran's resolve to go ahead with its peaceful nuclear program.
Let's get the conversation going. Let me introduce our guest from the University of Tehran, Mohammad Marandi, joins us from Beirut. We have a professor at the Emeritus University of Minnesota, James Fetzer, joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. And Middle East expert Jafar Hadi Hassan joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Professor Marandi, first to you. Iran, by all means, through what was unveiled today, has mastered the nuclear fuel cycle. And this has come, obviously, despite the growing U.S.-led sanctions and threats. Tell us, how significant are these advances under such climate?
Well, I think they are significant at many levels. First of all, it shows that Western powers really don't have the ability to hold Iran back as a growing and developing nation, despite the fact that the Americans are effectively waging war, and the Europeans, along with them, against the Iranian people. The Iranians continue to make these scientific advances. And another interesting aspect in all this is that when you look at Western pundits and the media, you regularly see them say how the Iranians are really unable to make this sort of progress, and the Iranians boast about the progress that they make when reality they show a great deal of skepticism about Iran's ability in this regard. And I think this is a form of Orientalism or Eurocentric worldview, where they believe that countries, non-Western countries, are incapable of developing on their own and producing indigenous technology. It's to a degree it's racist, I believe. But it is highly extraordinary that the Iranians have advanced in key fields such as nanotechnology, satellite technology, missile technology, as well as the nuclear industry, despite as well as stem cell research, despite all the sanctions and pressure coming from Western countries.
Jafar Hadi Hassan, let's look at how the U.S. and its allies have positioned themselves. They have said that Iran is seeking to develop nuclear weapons and that they are putting pressures on Tehran to stop it from making atomic bomb. Tehran has said the reason for the U.S.-led sanctions and threats is that it refuses to be in the sphere of Washington's foreign policy. How do you see the reason behind the anti-Iran pressures?
Unfortunately, I am worried that the scenario of Iraq will be implemented against Iran. If you remember, there was a sanction against Iraq for about 10 years or more, and there were inspectors coming and going from the nuclear agency, and of course, they did not discover anything at all, and now we have the same thing. Now, the West and America in particular, they are putting this pressure on Iran, although the inspectors are coming. Iran itself invited the agency to come, and they had discussion last month, and it is coming probably in a week time, the representative. But to be honest with you, Iran is worried that some of these inspectors might be spies, and they are getting the information and passed it to the United States and to Israel. This is the thing. And also, on the other hand, there is nothing to show that Iran is producing a nuclear weapon, but still they are strangling the Iranian nations by this sanction. I mean, the main source of the Iranian nation, the income, is only oil, and they are putting pressure on Iran to stop or to prevent Iran from exporting oil. This is unethical and probably illegal.
Well, maybe the world has wised up since Iraq was their first time at bat, and we saw what happened there. James Fetzer, let's look at some of the allegations. On February 2nd, 2012, Israel's chief of military intelligence, Major General Aviv Khoshavi, claimed that Iran is 1 year away from building the nuclear bomb. He made the remarks at the Herzliya Conference for Strategic Affairs in Tel Aviv. 16 years ago, Shimon Peres, then Israel's prime minister, said exactly the same thing. That's back in 1996. And 20 years ago, in 1992, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli, who's the current Israeli prime minister, said that Iran would have a nuclear bomb by 1999. And that would be 13 years ago. Why this nuclear bomb keeps turning up both by the United States and Israel?
Well, these hysterical anti-Iran attacks coming from Israeli politicians have no basis in fact. Iran has allowed inspectors in. American intelligence agencies have concluded they aren't developing a nuclear weapon. Their motto is nuclear energy for all, nuclear weapons for none. The attacks that Israel is claiming the Iranians are perpetrating, for example, in Thailand, appear to be the work of the Mossad itself. The Thai authorities are claiming they have to do more analysis to figure out what's going on, and yet the leaders of Israel are proclaiming that it's clearly the work of Iran. The fact is that historically, Israel has been the greatest practitioner of false flag terrorism in recent history, going back to 1947, when a gang of Ergun terrorists dressed as Arabs attacked the King David Hotel, or 1967, when Israeli aircraft torpedoed and strafed the USS Liberty in an effort to blame it on the Egyptians and draw the United States into the Six-Day War. Or false flag attacks in Argentina in 1992 and 1994, where the Mossad attacked its own Israeli embassy in 1992, and then apparently not bringing enough deaths, attacked its own Jewish community center in order to undermine Argentine support and cooperation for the peaceful development of nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. When you read the fine print, you discover that Iran has introduced a 20% increase in enrichment, which is enough to power the medical research facility, but not to develop nuclear weapons.
And at the same time, Iran, Professor Mandy, has left the door open to the IAEA. The positive trip recently made by the senior UN nuclear inspectors is an example. Another trip is in the works, from what I believe, and not to mention the P5+1 talks to be held in Turkey. I mean, this is Iran's dual-track approach, but why is the West, in terms of their approach, always using as one track the threat of wars?
Well, I think it reveals a great deal about the state of affairs in the West and how they constantly threaten countries with war, with destruction, with death, with embargoes, the attempt to prevent Iranians from importing grain and rice shows how inhuman Western European and North American politicians behave when it comes to Iran and how immoral what the Western media is with regards to Iran. It is very important to note that all of the Iranian installations, including the Fordo installation near Qom, are under IAEA supervision. In other words, the IAEA, first of all, they have permanent representatives here in Iran. They have cameras installed in all the installations, and there is absolutely no deviation whatsoever in any of the installations. Beyond that, I think it's also important to note that the recent attacks that have taken place in India, in Thailand, and in Georgia, they do seem very clearly to be false flag operations. And the case of India is particularly important because India is one of Iran's key friends in the region, and it imports a large amount of Iranian oil. And it's quite clear that the attempt here is to create tension within Iranian-Indian relations at a time when the Indians have decided to work more closely with Iran with regards to the import of Iranian oil and paying the Iranians for that oil. So, and it's quite possible that in the near future, similar attacks will be carried out in other countries close to Iran, like China or Brazil or South Africa or BRICS countries, perhaps to create problems with regards to Iran's relationship with these countries. But the point really is that Western countries and their allies, they assassinate Iranian scientists, they murder people, they impose an embargo on the ordinary Iranian population to make ordinary people suffer. And at the end of the day, they make demands on the Iranian people and portray Iran as somehow the perpetrator and the troublemaker, whereas Iran is working within the framework of international law. Iran's nuclear program is peaceful, and the Iranians, in fact, the only reason why they produce enriched uranium at 20% was because Western countries refused to provide Iran with that fuel. They tried to prevent Iran from putting new fuel into the Tehran experimental reactor, which is for cancer patients, in order to put pressure on the country. In other words, Western countries were playing with the lives of cancer patients. So the Iranians had no option but to produce this fuel. And interestingly, the fact that Iran produced this fuel at 20% means that this fuel can no longer be used for nuclear weapons. So in a sense, Iran is helping the West.
And in a sense, Jafar Hadi Hassan, it's a game changer, isn't it? Because right now, the West demanding that Iran surrender its capacity to enrich uranium really is a thing of the past. So given this new atmosphere, what type of approach is the West left in terms of dealing with Iran?
Well, I tell you, to be honest with you, there is an element of Israel playing a big role in here. Israel does not want any country to have any nuclear energy for civil use at all. It wants to be the only country in the Middle East to have this power, and also to be the strongest in this country. And in this case, of course, America is helping Israel. I tell you one thing. I read a newspaper, Zionist newspaper, weekly one. Probably no week passes without information about Iran and encouraging the United States to hit Iran. That is a Zionist newspaper. So therefore, Israel is playing a big role. I mean, Iran accused Azerbaijan that it helped to assassinate its scientist. And of course, people don't know that there is a very close cooperation in the intelligence between Azerbaijan and Israel. And of course, Israel is getting a third of its oil from Azerbaijan coming from Baku. So therefore, Israel is using all its power to stop the project, this project, whether it is a nuclear weapon or it is a civilian project. Regardless, it doesn't want this project to be developed in Iran. It wants the project, this kind of project, for itself. Simple.
Well, let's see who's going to succeed. James Fetzer, would you agree that Iran is actually talking out of a position of power? We're looking at what has been achieved today. We're looking at the fact that Iran is mulling over, if not reaching a conclusion, to cut off their oil imports to six EU countries as a result of the pressure that was led by the United States. So who's successful here? Let's be real in terms of what's coming out of all this push by the West, led by the United States, with the most recent sanctions imposed on Iran.
Well, I think Iran is completely justified to take steps to respond to the attempts to manipulate financial transactions through SWIFT, which they're entitled to do. The whole business about nuclear weapons is a massive distraction, what's known as a red herring. This has nothing to do with nuclear weapons. Even if Iran had nuclear weapons, which it has disavowed, it could not possibly use them offensively without running the risk of nuclear annihilation. The real deal is the development of nuclear fuel rods, which have the American nuclear industry panicked because Iran is going to be able to undercut them in the international market. And the American nuclear fuel industry is going to lose profits, possibly even be devastated and bankrupt by Iran's capacity to market these fuel rods for peaceful purposes. If we actually believed in the free market, we would herald this as a major development, but American corporations prefer monopolies. They don't want competition. And least of all, do they want Iran to be competing with the American nuclear energy industry. I say Iran is making great progress, doing the right thing, and Americans and the rest of the world need to wake up and realize how much of this is propaganda promoted largely by Zionist influence in order to subvert peaceful relations between nations in the world.
It's a very good point that you made, because that's the same point, Professor Marandi, that Iran's president made regarding how about seven countries are monopolizing this industry, this nuclear industry. Maybe economically speaking, they don't want Iran to be in that sphere. Tell us your thoughts on that. And of course, since we're running short of time, whether Iran is speaking out of a position of strength in terms of what has occurred regarding today's achievements and, of course, their decision about oil imports to the EU, six countries in particular that they're deciding not to send oil to.
Well, it is important to note that high-tech industries are very expensive to develop, but once they are developed, their products are very inexpensive, and therefore the profit is extraordinarily high. And that's why many countries do not have a high-tech industry, because it takes a great deal of investment. And because of the existing products, there's not much incentive. Iran, over the past few years, has worked a lot to develop high-tech industries. And now we see the fruits of that investment. So Iran is definitely a very different country today than it was a few years ago. Sanctions will definitely not work in any field. And therefore, Iran is speaking from a position of strength. The United States and the Europeans simply cannot halt Iran's peaceful progress and its independent policies. So therefore, in the talks, the Iranians will definitely be speaking from a position of strength. And the fact that the Iranians are warning the Europeans that they will no longer sell them oil if they do not immediately agree to long-term contracts shows that Iran's also speaking from a position of strength. And it's also important to note that just today, apparently, the Chinese and the Iranians have agreed that Iran's exports to China will increase from 200,000 to 250,000 barrels a day to 500,000 barrels within a few weeks. So it seems that Western countries are rapidly losing their global influence, and they will have to face a new reality, and that is that they no longer have the hegemonic power that they did, and that Iran will remain strong and independent.
And if you want to look at this a little bit further, Jafar Hadi Hassan, doesn't Iran's nuclear know-how now mean that the West has to engage with Iran? What choices are left? And accept Iran's capacity for the civilian use of nuclear technology because, well, Iran has created political equality in nuclear negotiations with the West.
Yeah, I tell you first that I am pleased that Iran announced today that it has developed something important. Despite all the pressure, despite all the sanctions, and still developing and going forward. I think at this stage, as you have said, that the West should come and sit down with Iran and negotiate with it as a power and an important power in the Middle East or in the world. So therefore, I think probably they have no choice. But unfortunately, Israel is playing a very negative role and encourage the United States to do something to attack Iran militarily.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Middle East expert Jafar Hadi Hassan from London. We appreciate your statements. Also like to thank Professor at the University of Tehran, Mohammad Marandi. Thank you so much. And Professor at the Emeritus University of Minnesota, James Fetzer. Thank you. And thank you, the viewer, for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Just send us any comments or suggestions. Newsroom@presstv.ir. From me, Kovet Tahvoy, and the entire team, it's goodbye.